and welcome to another Countdown to Eternity. Today, James Cadiz and Don Stewart discuss the rapid changes around the world, absent of any real superpowers, and what that means for the role of the Western civilization in the end times. It's going to be a great program, so grab a cup of coffee and listen to one of the most enjoyable Bible prophecy episodes we've done in a long time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am tremendously excited because the week has gone by faster than I can imagine, and here we are with another episode of Countdown to Eternity. I have the privilege of being with the great Don Stewart. I've been doing stuff with Don for years and years and years, and it never gets old. So, my dear brother, light us up. Tell us what you got. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is, James, but I think at top, we ought to say something about... we had just had the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I don't believe we said anything last week about it. I think each of us, our hearts are still so hurt about what took place 20 years ago, but also our hearts are hurt how the world has changed, and particularly America's changed in the last 20 years. The view that people have now towards first responders, policemen, firemen, et cetera, it's very sad. But lest we forget, we are still at war. We are still at war with... Islam, with the Islam that's apocalyptic, that wants to change the world there.
Yes.
So again, lest we forget that, the war is simply not over.
Yeah, bro. And I am really, really saddened by it all. I remember when 9/11 had taken place, I was in my mid-20s, and it was so unique because I was woken up by one of the sergeants from the police department. He shared a few jokes, probably not appropriate to share over the air, and then asked me to come into the station and to sit down and start listening to Arabic stations all throughout the world. Because at the time, the federal agents that were involved in trying to figure everything out and make sure there was nothing else coming didn't have a lot of Arabic speakers working for them. And I remember listening to some of the things that were being said across the world and thinking in my heart, I wish Americans could understand just how demonic Islam is and the destructive force that comes from the Quran, making it very clear that infidels, which are people who do not worship the false God, Allah, should be treated. And it's just amazing. And then to me, and it does break my heart, and I think it's worthwhile mentioning, it breaks my heart that as we approached the 20th anniversary of 9/11, the current president of the United States disgracefully and horrendously, and I don't think incompetently, I think he did it specifically and intentionally, nefariously, chose to abandon Afghanistan and abandon American citizens and literally abandon the standing of the United States all over the world, which of course does have very prophetic implications, not in the fact that the United States is mentioned in the Bible, but the fact that it is not mentioned in the Bible. And I think that that's kind of an interesting thing. And you brilliantly describe this when you talk about the signs of the soon return of Christ.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we knew this was going to happen. In fact, last year, James, when we had the program, we said there were basically four things, huge things, keeping the Ezekiel 38-39 scenario going. That is, the United States is still a superpower. We're there in the Middle East. We have Israel's back. And let's not forget, Israel had a strong leader then, too. So we had all those four things. And what we would say, and I particularly, this is one of the things I've been saying for years, U.S. has to be a non-player. They have to move out of the Middle East. They have to, be looked at with, as far as the world's concerned, as not a superpower. And have a president that doesn't care about Israel, doesn't have their back. And then, of course, Israel have to change administrations, too, to have someone in power who really was, feeble and couldn't do anything. And it's amazing all those things have happened. And yeah. We didn't want them to happen, but they've happened, James.
That's right. And what I think is so interesting, by the way, this is just incredible, is the fact that many people even sent in comments saying that the scenario that you're describing, Don, is impossible. We've got a great president, at the time. They can't foresee us outvoting him from office. And realistically, it was a scenario that seemed to be just completely impossible for people to grasp, especially because of how strong our relationship was with Israel. And it's amazing what can happen in 7 months.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things too, James, that we're seeing in so many different arenas right now is everything happening so fast worldwide, where it's like, somebody just slaps you in the face and say, you're living in a different world today. And every day when we text each other and with Tom Hughes, we always say, you know, you really can't make this stuff up. A few years ago, these would have been joke headlines. We would have thought, nah, this could never happen. And so one of the reasons we want to emphasize why we do count down to eternity, there's so many things going on that are setting the stage for last day's Bible prophecy. And I want to say this, it's very important that you watch programs and listen to people that know what they're talking about, know the Bible, know the totality of Scripture, are not sensationalists, not trying to say, well, this is the rapture generation. We don't know that. It may be, but we cannot claim that. Or something like, well, the vaccine there is the, you know, Israel, this gift of the world, fulfilling Abraham, Genesis 1 to 3, things like that. This kind of stuff does not belong amongst Christians who are serious interpreters of the Bible, does it, James?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with you. And to be able to take that kind of statement and to do that, listen, I think that it's indicative of somebody who would function almost as the state church. It's, hey, listen, we have an agenda for you. We're going to take away your freedoms and we're going to make you do something that you might not necessarily want to do, but you're going to be made to do it because you're going to lose your job if you don't do it. And then to have somebody who is a Christian leader and somebody who even talks about Bible prophecy and speaks about all of these things actually say that this type of a thing is the fulfillment of a passage that's completely out of context that doesn't even matter. Oh my goodness. And I can tell you what it might be a fulfillment of. I can tell you that the things that we're seeing right now as these mandates are coming, these mandates that are happening, I think they help to prepare us for the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13. I would never say that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I would never make that kind of statement. But what I am saying is if we were to have been approached 2 years ago and told, if you don't do this to your body, then you won't be able to ever buy or sell. If that was something that was actually said to us, then I'm just going to tell you this. I just want you to understand. I would have said you're crazy. And every American in this country would have said you're crazy. You're insane. When in reality, nothing could be further from the truth, right? We know very well that God has been allowing this to happen to prepare people for what we know is going to take place in Revelation chapter 13. And now, when by the time we get to Revelation chapter 13, when a guy sets himself up in the temple and demands to be worshiped, don't be surprised when everybody all over the world says, oh yeah, no problem. I mean, this is very important for us. That's just the reality of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad to see this sort of thing, but it's not surprising. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 24 talked about the love of many growing cold and people would turn in brother and family member and that. And it seems to be that's what's happening right now in New South Wales, Australia, one of the states there. The pastors are all in favor of the lockdowns, all in favor of these draconian rules that are now being placed in certain that are supposedly being voluntarily placed. But they're in favor of that for their own congregation, James. And that's what's really, really scary.
And by the way, I think that this really brings us to the place of understanding the biblical obligation we have as spiritual leaders to tell the truth. And why is it that people are succumbing to the temptation of sensationalizing things so that it can kind of fit your narrative for whatever it makes you feel comfortable, and it's a perverted message? And by the way, I'm going to say this, Don. This is why people like me and you and Tom have been so deeply frustrated with people that make it their life goal to teach Bible prophecy, and they take liberties to exaggerate or lie about things or not tell the truth or make up something in order to make it fill a timepiece. So what happens when it doesn't work out? What do you do?
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, here's the thing. The whole subject is sensational enough just by telling the truth. You don't have to exaggerate. You don't have to blow it out of proportion. Just tell the truth, what the Bible says and what's happening. But unfortunately, Jesus warned about people like that at the time of the end. So again, just this is sort of the buyer beware. If you're going to watch different programs, listen to people, make sure they're well taught in Scripture. They know the totality of Scripture. They're not just one string banjos, and they don't say these sensational things that you know, almost put a time limit on it. We're the rapture generation. Well, we may be, but we don't know that for a fact. And by getting people scared, saying like we're already in World War III or something like that, this is beyond ridiculous. Because there are problems, James. I want to talk about one. We talked about it last weekend, but again, it's showing its ugly head. The next 9/11 question, nuclear terrorism. And this is huge because the story is not getting told. No one's dealing with it. It's funny when Joe Pettick and I did a program this last week, it's the first question he brought up. I thought, thank you, Joe. You know, someone at least talking about it. And that's the, you know, Iran, they're supposedly just weeks away from some type of nuclear weapon, we're told. And no one seems to want to talk about or even get involved in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ugly. And that's a situation that we're dealing with right now. And it's been all a big diversionary tactic. Yeah. And I've said this. You have said it. We've all said it. There's no way anybody can mess our country up so quickly in 7 months without it being intentional. Yeah. And I think that this is intentional based on what all the globalists are thinking and all the things that are going on. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And one of the things here that this article mentions, there's a scholar named Majid Rafizadeh, I guess that he's the president of the International American Council on the Middle East. He says, once again, it seems like the mullahs of Iran are masterfully playing the Biden administration and the EU by stalling nuclear talks, buying time to get more concessions, and accelerating their enrichment of uranium and nuclear program to reach a weapons-grade nuclear breakout. Doesn't that sound pretty much like what we see right now?
Well, I mean, come on, give me a break. Why in the world do you think Iran is doing what they're doing? They're smart. They're saying we're not even going to have a conversation about the JCPOA. And there's a reason why they don't want to have that conversation about the JCPOA. Come on, listen. The level of uranium enrichment that has taken place already is literally three times the amount that was agreed to have been done by the time you got to the sunset clause in several years from now. They've already violated it. So the whole point is, oh yeah, we'll sit down and have a conversation about the JCPOA once we have fully enriched uranium that's at weapons grade to be able to do exactly what we want to do. And then part of the negotiating terms for the JCPOA will not relate necessarily to the production of such uranium. It will relate to how we limit or choose not to limit the use of that uranium for the specific purpose of arming some kind of a warhead or a transportation mechanism. And by the way, they're perfecting that too as we speak. And I think this is why, precisely why, you have the Minister of Defense, I think it was Gantz, that sat down with the Minister of Defense of Russia and basically told Russia, hey, here's the bottom line. You can say whatever you want, but we are coming after Iran if Iran gives us any more evidence of the fact that they are marching towards nuclear weapons. And by the way, I think Israel is just saying that to be very, very nice. I think they already have knowledge of it. Matter of fact, I know they already have knowledge of it because Bibi made a presentation concerning all of that stuff years and years and years ago. And they're ready to go forward. They're ready to move forward. And this all fits in the biblical scenario and the narrative given to us about what happens after the church is raptured. We know that this is going to be the case.
Yeah, it's Yair Lapid, the foreign minister. He was in Moscow, and he says Israel reserves the right to act against Iran to prevent nukes. And he made a statement that's so true, James. Iran's march towards a nuclear weapon is not only an Israeli problem, it's a problem for the entire world. When you understand the theology of Iran as Shia Islam, basically to bring this big conflagration in the entire world where eventually the, you know, the 12th Imam, the final Mahdi shows up, and that's their last days theology. And so what we want to remind the people of, we talked about it last week, we'll be talking about it again. This is an ongoing story. It's a developing story. It's not going to go away. These people are serious. One of the main problems, as we have mentioned 6 years ago when this JCPOA came about, there was nothing, absolutely nothing said about Iran developing missiles, right. You know, any type of delivery system that could, because you need both. Like we said, you need the weapon, the delivery system. And so we need to keep mentioning that because the whole world, the eyes are on, you know, this problem here, this one there, but this is the heavy one because something sooner or later must break there in the Middle East because Iran is close to developing that nuclear weapon. Israel knows that. They better do something about it because if not, they're going to be in real deep trouble. But we'll just keep our eyes on that. So that's one of the stories that's ongoing. We will be mentioning it every week. We may sound like the broken record, but it's going to happen, you know, and we'll see.
Well, take a look at this. And this one is disgusting, but I'm going to switch it over to this picture because it's most definitely worthwhile taking a look at, something worth us evaluating for just a second. And of course, for those of you that are listening to us on the radio, what I am showing right now is a UAV base. That means an unmanned aerial vehicle base that's in Kashan, or the Kashan airport. This is in Iran. Right. Okay. And what you are looking at, and if, by the way, if you want to see this picture, you can go to our YouTube page, you You can go to countdowntoeternity.com. We'll direct you to where the video is of all of this. But what is remarkable and what is unique here is that you are seeing a picture of an area where Iran is training militias, right, from Yemen, Iraq. They're training from Syria. They're training a few people. And all of these people, by the way, Lebanon, by the way, that's a key one. Let's not forget Lebanon, because Hezbollah is one of their biggest proxies. And they're training these people to not only fly these drones, but they're also training people how to build them, not just fly them, but to build them. And you know that you know that you know that you know that it is very likely that these things can be used as a literal transportation tools for the kind of weapons that we're trying to prevent Iran from actually developing. And again, this continues to go back into the narrative that we read about with respect to end times. And I can tell you this right now, this would never be published by Iran. Iran would never be open to discussing it or even acknowledging it. I can tell you this right now, if it was not for how diminished the power and the authority of the United States of America has actually become.
Yeah, totally. America has lost everything that we've spent so many years building up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye there with Afghanistan. No one can trust us anymore. Like we said last week, India is moving probably towards China with respect to, you know, worrying about Pakistan, the proverbial enemy. They both have nuclear weapons, by the way. Most people don't realize that. And so China getting in that. Iran now, like you said, and these UAVs, James, what I read too, one of the things that this one article said that I hadn't even thought of, they said, you don't need to think in terms of a huge bomb. They could develop something very small, but would have tremendous, tremendous, attack power on even, and psychologically too, if something like that was sent.
100%. And people don't get this. These UAVs, the capabilities of these things are remarkable. They can turn on a dime, especially if you're talking about multi-rotors. When you start getting into the multi-rotor world, you can stop on a dime. You could turn on a dime. You can change things so quickly, so fast. It's not even funny. And that's the capability that these things have. And so, of course, you're going to develop that in people. Of course, that's going to be something that's going to be happening in the future. We know that that's going to take place.
Yeah, and we know also, too, they're not easy to shoot down, are they?
No. Matter of fact, it's interesting. There are several videos that are out there that you can find, and you can try police shooting down drone. There's a couple of real good videos that are out there where guys were actually hired, some of the smartest, sharpest marksmen that are out there, and they tried to hire them to shoot down these multi-rotors. They couldn't do it. Their bullets could not get it. That kind of aim, precision that you need, anticipatory function and pulling the trigger and knowing where that bullet's going to end up going. Impossible, virtually impossible. The only way to destroy these things is to develop uniquely sophisticated equipment that's able to track it, which is why Israel right now, I'm hearing, is beginning to modify their Iron Dome system slightly to be able to chase after these UAVs.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to change the subject, if you don't mind, for a second, because sure. This one has to be mentioned because we've got so many stories. And this I've read in the United States, too. It's an EU official, growing appeal among youth for the end of Western civilization. We have the same thing in the United States. I don't know if you saw that story.
I did.
The people now are, basically what Biden said, they're feeling sorry for the people that were the hijackers that killed all these murderers, because they only did it because they're these poor people that are not given a chance, and America got what it deserved, this and that. And so you've got more and more with the rise of socialism and all that, James, the end of Western civilization, and they're drawn to terrorist causes simply because they think, you know, the white supremacists, they're taken over and ruined the world and stolen from these poor people, and therefore they need to respond. But see, here's the question. This is what got me wanting to do the question with you. He said, terrorism that Europe is currently facing is less organized and involves more lone wolves with lower quality weapons, but that is simply an evolution of the terrorist threat from being more centralized and based on larger terror groups. Now, that's why I asked you the question. You got a lone wolf, and maybe it buys a drone, creates one, builds one, you know, whatever, and loads it with something, and that could do a tremendous amount of damage, particularly if they think, you know, with the mindset that's today, well, Western civilization, we need to start all over again, and so let's bury that, and let's bring on something new. So we're getting it from all kinds of angles, but it fits perfectly what the Bible says in the last day, you know, lawlessness and violence, right in front of us.
Well, and it continues to show very clearly what is happening per what the Bible actually tells us is going on. There's a growing and a heightened desire to want to call good evil and evil good. And as a matter of fact, here's something you may have picked up on. I'm certain you would have picked up on from reading this article, because I remember reading the article myself and just being astounded by this sentiment that seems to be growing. But I want you to pay attention to the thought or the ideal that they seem to be communicating that draws a picture of terrorism being aligned with people who have conservative values.
Yeah, exactly. And it is
very interesting how this growing crowd of young people are sick and tired, not of Western values, as they would call it, but they're growing sick and tired of biblical values. And that's a scary thing. But we knew that this would be happening in the last days. The Bible tells us to us.
Yeah, and we saw that on 9/11 with the absolutely horrific, I don't know what kind of adjectives to use, speech by Bush 43, basically, saying, well, the new worry here is, you know, the new jihad of 20 years ago that happened in the World Trade Center. And so many terms, it's the white supremacists. That's what he said. The ones that have caused the problem. Nothing about, you know, Black Lives Matter, nothing about Antifa. It's the white supremacists, January 6th thing. And that was, you know, you don't know what to do. You just want to scream.
Well, and it's, look, it continues to be very, very frustrating. It continues to be a remarkable lie that these people show. And by the way, you shouldn't be surprised, right? Look, I'm going to do this just for the benefit of our audience watching this, that are watching, so you can see. And again, for the description, for those of you folks that are on the radio, what I'm about to do is I am cutting over to a web page screen, and I'm doing this live so that you know that I'm not playing around here, okay? I'm going to go live right now, and I'm going to type this onto the webpage right here. I'm going to type in antifa.com, okay? And, oh, you think it's risky. Look what happens when I hit enter. Notice it just goes to the White House. You yeah. type in antifa.com, and it goes to the White House. This has been known from the very day that the White House was taken over by Joe Biden, yet nobody seems to be talking about it, having a discussion about it, anything like that, because they are setting up the New World Order. That's exactly what they are doing. And it sounds awful, but it really is encouraging for a lot of reasons. And Don, I'm going to hand it back to you because we have a minute and a half. Why don't you tell us why this is also encouraging in many ways?
Yeah, it really is encouraging. As horrible as many of the stories are, one of the things that Jesus said on the night of his betrayal, I've told you things ahead of time that when they happen, you might believe. And not only what he said in the upper room before his betrayal, death, and eventual resurrection, we see the same thing in the New Testament later with the writings of the Apostle Paul, Peter, and others, that God has told us what to look forward to. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be real. But like we've said, the analogy of the hurricane, if you know a hurricane's coming, you could prepare to some degree. This hurricane's coming, it's whether we like it or not. We can complain, but what we're not to do, we're not to bury our heads in the sand, like so many people are doing, buy freeze-dried food. You know, they've got all these people now reading Biden like these underground places to live in and move in. That's exactly opposite of what Christians should do. We're to be salt and light. We're to engage people. We're not to hide. We're to be out right in front of the public to tell people the truth of the gospel, because we are not afraid of what's going on. We know what's going to happen, but we know also this, how this story ends, and that's with the coming of Christ. And so we are going to be, you know, fearless warriors for Christ. And that's what I just want to encourage everyone to be and not be afraid. Yeah, it's a tough time. We all know that, but God is in control.
Amen and amen. And that, I think, is the best way to close this episode of Countdown to Eternity, is to say that Almighty God is in control, and we can find comfort and peace in that. And I got to tell you, it is one of the things that I fall back on so much looking at what's going on in this world. So with that, we are out of time. I just want to thank you guys. You know, when you bring us into your living rooms, you take us on your drives, you literally sit down, and maybe even in your offices, you're watching this video. We are so grateful that you're doing it. We don't ever minimize that. So on behalf of the great Don Stewart, I want to thank you for watching us. May God richly bless you as we continue to count down to eternity. God bless you.
Been listening to Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. These are exciting times. What a thrilling episode. No doubt many of you would like to hear it again. Do us a favor and share it with a loved one as well. It's easy to do at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number 2, eternity.com. And it's available wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a video version of Countdown to Eternity Look for us on YouTube at the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel. You might also want to check out Don Stewart's mini books. You can download the PDFs or audiobooks for free at educatingourworld.com. Again, educatingourworld.com. And look for us on social media. Follow James Cadiz, Educating Our World and Countdown to Eternity on Instagram and Facebook. And then again, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill. Pastor James releases videos relating to Bible prophecy every day of the week. And maybe you have a question for Don and James. They'd love to hear from you. Email us through the website at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number two, eternity.com. And we'd also appreciate your support. It's with your help that we're able to bring these shows to the radio and internet every week. To make a donation, visit countdowntoeternity.com. That's all for now. Tell a friend about these weekly prophecy updates, and then join us next time. Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill. Thank you.